Money Control presents Pitchcraft in collaboration with Seed to Scale.
As the name suggests, this is a show where we are going to deconstruct the very first pitch deck of some of India's most successful startups. We are going to feature Spinny, an auto retailing platform backed by some of the world's biggest investors, last valued at $1.8 billion. But how did their journey start with a pitch deck? Here's a primer on Spinny before we get into the conversation. Founded in 2015 by Neeraj Singh, Ramanchu Mahor and Mohit Gupta, Spinny helps buy and sell pre-owned cars online. Sellers can schedule an inspection and get an offer for their car. Buyers can browse through the online inventory, view vehicle conditions, select a car of their choice and schedule a test drive. The road to building a unicorn wasn't easy. This is, in fact, the third startup Neeraj has founded after the previous two folded. The experience has taught him to have a clear vision. Singh grew up in Daldunganj, a town in Jharkhand, studied in Hindi medium, and started conversing in English only a few years ago. Spinny has raised $530 million from 34 institutional and 36 angel investors to date. It counts Sachin Tendulkar as its backer. Its cap table includes the likes of Axel, Bloom, Tiger Global, Avenir Growth Capital, General Catalyst, Elevation, among others. Swiggy's founder, Shri Harsha Majeti, has also invested in the company. Spinny last raised $283 million in November 2021 in a funding round led by Tiger Global at a valuation of $2.11 billion. While Spinny may be a unicorn now, it took 4 years to crack its first round of funding. What role did the pitch deck play in Spinny's journey? Let's find out. That was Spinny for you. It would have given you an idea of what the company does, who its competitors are, what its key business proposition is. But to understand more about how it's evolved all these years, we're very happy to have Neeraj Singh, the co-founder and CEO of Spinny. Does this look familiar to you?
Yeah. This is like insanely, nostalgic.
So this is a big reveal. Spinny's pitch deck created when? In 2018?
Yes, mid-2018.
And this was when you were raising your...
Series A round of funding.
But tell me about that, Neeraj, because Spinny, in a sense, is your third venture. You founded two other startups before that,
right.
Locus Education and then Tech Monkey.
Yes.
So from EdTech to Media Tech to Auto Tech.
Yes.
How did you go about creating a deck for Auto Tech? What were your reference points? Take us through the process before we delve into what this has.
So basically, I put the customer at the center, that what is the problem customers are facing in the market, and how big the problem is, how special this purchase is for them, what kind of expectation they have in terms of quality of the product, overall transaction experience, accountability from the seller, and also seamlessness in the transaction process and what kind of digital integrations. So we put all of that in the center while creating this deck, because we were clear that, this is a very special and aspirational and emotional purchase for people, and they have very high expectations from this particular transaction, and the way they were treated in the market earlier was exactly opposite. So that is the that theme is at the center of this entire deck.
Right. Do you want to tell us about how long it took for you to make
it? It went through multiple iterations, Chandra, right? Because we started Spinny in late 2015 only. And it's not that in 2018 we were trying to raise funds for the first time. So I tried really hard to do our Series A, even in 2016, then 2017, then 2018, and our Series A was closed only in April 2019. So after having multiple, you know, shots at it, I realized that, you know, what kind of storytelling should come out from your deck, and how important having a good deck is. Maybe, you know, early in our journey, maybe in 2016 and 2017, I was not giving enough emphasis, and I was not realizing the strength of storytelling through deck. But when I realized it, right, then I had my own realizations. And after that, I tried to put the best foot forward while creating this deck. And it won't be even an iota of exaggeration if I tell you that I took almost 4-5 months to create this deck.
Wow.
So I believe that having a good deck is insanely important, because it is a part of your storytelling. Of course, goes without saying that there should be a solid substance in your business, right? The kind of value that you intend to your customers, and all your groundwork, all your preparedness behind that should be there. That is that should be table stakes. And even if you have all those things in place, then also you need to ensure that there is a good storytelling, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do. So you have to do some storytelling with your customers so that they are able to understand your offering, your value proposition, what you are trying to do for them in a most simple and most effective manner. You need to do storytelling for your team members while you are building your team. You need to do the storytelling with potential investors while you are trying to raise capital. So storytelling is a very central and integral part of being a founder and building up a company. And while you are making your deck, it is a kind of manifestation of storytelling only. And while making your deck, you will go through serious introspections, you will go through all your assumptions, hypotheses, and it is an opportunity to step back and reflect. So even if you don't have to share a deck with any investor, right, then I think just for your clarity, right, I think everybody should go through this deck making process, because it is an opportunity to step back and reflect and think through all your hypotheses again and again and again, being more clear regarding what you are trying to build, why this needs to be built, and for whom this needs to be built.
Got it.
And if I talked about some functional aspects of deck, right, so maybe you are meeting some particular investor from a particular firm, and you are able to explain everything to that particular person, but you need to understand that person has to be, even if that person is completely sold right on you, that person has to do internal selling also. That person has to build internal alignment also, and that person won't be able to share or tell everything as it is. So that person also needs a reference, right, a reference material, right, to build internal alignment, to build internal buy-in. So a deck plays multiple roles, right, in your fundraise. And one very important point I'm trying to make here is that deck is not limited just to fundraising, right? It is an opportunity for you to step back and do serious introspections, do serious reflections, and keep sharpening your focus and your clarity.
That's a very interesting point from Neeraj, and I hope Pitchcraft will serve as a guiding light for many entrepreneurs, because as he said, a deck gives you a chance to introspect, to iterate on, you know, where you are, where you want to be. Fundraising, of course, is one aspect of it. But all the other points he mentioned, that, you know, he went back, questioned many of your assumptions before putting it there. And as you said, not just the VC who's meeting you, but the VC who has to build internal alignment in his or her own firm.
You have to solve his or her life also.
Right. Do you want to take us through the first few slides? And, you know, so when I Google, you know, what a pitch deck is supposed to be, there are so many templates available online, you know, that you start with a problem statement, a solution, a size of the market, you know, market size, competition, and then, of course, your own financials and where you want to be. So did you have this mental model in mind that slide 1 to 5 will be this, 5 to 10 will be this? And did you sit and work on it yourself, or you got some person to work on it?
So my first two startups, so both of those startups were bootstrapped. I never built a deck in those startups, right? So I
didn't need one.
Yeah. So and when I started building decks at Spinny, right? So initially I tried to follow the templates available in the market, but I was not getting convinced with the kind of outcome I was getting by following those templates, and of course those decks were not even, you know, producing any result for us in terms of fundraising or anything. And I was trying to be very clear that it shouldn't be a very lengthy one, right? You don't need to do a all-out information assault on anybody, right? The key takeaway is you need to understand that if somebody is going through your deck and once that person is like completely through it, what are the key takeaways you want to deliver? What are the key takeaways you want to get registered on that person's mind?
So in your case,
yeah,
what were the three key takeaways that you wanted your deck to project to anyone who looks at it? Like if I look at it, what are the three things that should stand out for me?
So for me, the most important basically takeaway I was trying to create for the people who were going through our deck was what exactly we are trying to build here, for whom we are trying to build this, and why this needs to be built for them. Right. So what exactly you are trying to build? So before going into too much of the details, I think your mission statement, right? This should not be any template driven mission statement, right? This should come from your heart, right? And this should come from lots of introspection. What exactly you are trying to build here, right?
And
what purpose that business, that company will serve? So if you look at our mission statement, right?
So so Spinny's mission statement is to help people fulfill their dreams through seamless, fair and quick car buying experience.
Exactly. So if you look at, you know, the first part of the mission statement, right? So our mission statement is to help people fulfill their dreams. So in a way, we are trying to say that how important this purchase is for people, and we relate with them. We understand how important this purchase is for them. Hence, we will go to any mile to solve this particular transaction for them. So first part is very clear that this is a very important purchase for them, number one. Hence, if it is broken, then it should definitely be solved. Second, we understand how important this purchase is. So we will go to any mile, irrespective of our background. We will build the expertise. But the most interesting part here is that we understand how important this purchase is for people. So we will go to any mile to solve this transaction for them, right? And then how are we going to solve it, and what are the key characteristics we want to, like, you know, achieve by bringing up this solution is like, you know, making this transaction seamless, because car buying is a very complex, very long journey. So making this transaction seamless, fair, right, full transparency, guaranteed quality, fair pricing, full accountability. So seamless transaction process, eliminating or reducing the complexity from the process, making it a fair, and making it a, like a quick car buying experience.
Did you also in a sense feel that, you know, once you've laid down this mission, this shouldn't change 5 years down the line? Or, I mean, you've sort of stayed true
to
that.
It will keep evolving, right? But before going there, you know, I would like to reiterate here is that while you are like introducing your company or your startup, right, or your solution for the first time, you know, in like maybe first or second slide of the deck, so you should be clear that without going into the further details, if somebody is having a quick look of just this particular slide, that person should have a sense, right, of what exactly you are trying to build, right, what exactly you are trying to solve, and for whom you are trying to solve it. Even before going into the further details, right? You should not think that, you know, as that person will keep going through the further details, that person will figure out, right? So what exactly is trying to be built? I think that clarity should be there.
Got it.
For the
Got
person
it.
Going through that deck.
Because once
your first 2-3 slides are your real pitch, right? Remaining slides are reiteration and winning the confidence.
Got it. So the first 2-3 slides you would say were the most crucial for you.
So I was trying to basically communicate that it's a big market and further growing, but at the same time completely broken, So big opportunity, but completely broken. So somebody should solve it. But who are the target audience, right? And what is their expectation? So what kind of solution one needs to bring? So that is, without going to the details of the models or our real actionables, our plan, right? Or monetization. So this high level clarity I was trying to like build in the first part of the deck.
Right. So the first few slides were essentially about Spinney's mission, the size of the market, the opportunity, but also the fact that it's broken. Therefore, there's a space for a player like Spinney.
Right, and target audience also.
And the next few would be what you bring in, your unique value proposition.
How you are going to do this, right?
Right. Which is where you spoke about, you know, the 200-point test.
Yes.
How to make it more reliable. How to improve trust with the customer,
exactly,
which you believe was broken during the car buying process.
Right. So what USPs you will bring, right, to meet the expectation of the customer, and what kind of capabilities you will build at the back end to basically to be in a position to deliver those USPs.
Right. And from there, you go to the details or what happens after that? Or you delve into the financials or you go into expansion plans?
First part is basically what you were trying to build and why this needs to be built and for whom it is needed to be built.
Hmm.
And the second part is how you are going to do that. And the third part is a certain validation of that, right? So a certain validation of your approach, right? Your approach to, you know, to basically build this is working on the ground, right? So third part is validation part.
But what I found missing or what was conspicuous by its absence, you know, you didn't say anything about your rivals or what they were doing, what you will do differently, because when Spinney was founded, there were already legacy players in the market, right? There was a car trade, which I think started sometime in 2009. There was a car Dekho, there was a Cars 24. So weren't you worried that the first question that you will be asked is, this is a fourth or the fifth player? And I think there was also OLX and Quikr.
OLX, Quikr, so, Truebill.
Yes.
GoZumo, Droom.
It was a super crowded market.
Yeah.
So didn't you anticipate?
Gaadi, lots of players.
Yeah. But I don't see a slide on the competitive landscape or how you're going to stand out.
Yeah. So, of course, when we were trying to raise our Series A throughout 2016, 2017, 2018, that was the biggest pushback we used to get, that this market is overcrowded, overfunded, done and dusted. There is no place for any new guy. You're wasting your time, right? So there is no point doing anything in this category. But, you know, I was very clear about one thing, that this is a really, really very important emotional and aspirational purchase for people. One of the like three, four key purchases you do in your life. So a typical Indian, you know, journey for like most of the Indians.
Gaadi.
You come from a small town, you try to, you know, study very hard to go to a good college. Then again, you study very hard, you know, at a college to get a good job. Then you start earning. And whenever you start earning, the first thing you try to buy is like buying your first car. And you have been dreaming about that since your childhood, right? So buying your first car is like very special, very emotional, aspirational. And it is also a certain kind of unlock for you, right? That, okay, I've done this, now I can start planning or dreaming about the next big item. So it is a kind of unlock, not egotic, but unlock for you. So, and when you start doing better in your career, then you buy a better car, then you get married, you buy a house. So buying your first car is very special. I would say one of the three, four key purchases you do in your life. So it was very clear to me that this is a very special purchase, but completely broken. And all the players I studied at that point of time, I was not convinced that they were able to relate with that emotion of the customer or the buyers, and they were trying their best to solve for that. Everybody has their own rationale of operating in this category, but the kind of rationale we were coming with, we found that rationale missing with most of the players, you know, operating at that point of time. And hence I thought that, you know, we will come to the category with right reasons and with all the hard work, rigor, perseverance, we will keep executing, and we were confident that we will be able to build a corner for ourselves. We were not thinking about leadership or anything else at that point of time. We were just thinking that, you know, that the problem statement is real and people in the market are not relating to that emotion. That emotion is completely unattended. So hence, there is a room for us. And if we operate right away, then we will definitely create a corner for ourselves. And once we are able to create a corner for ourselves, then we will start thinking how to keep expanding that corner.
Got it.
So we never talked about competition, you know, while raising our initial rounds. Too much of templatization is what backfires in most of the cases. I believe every person is unique, right? Every company is unique. Everybody has their own story. So no template can do justice to that, right? So everybody's story is unique. So only that person, you know, can figure out how that story should be best told.
That's a great point, that don't focus too much on...
I keep telling this to my, you know, VC friends also, that, you know, don't templatize founders. Every person is unique, every business is unique, every category is unique, every problem statement is unique, every business model is unique. So too much of templatization
is problematic. Don't templatize founders is a great point, Neeraj. But when you were preparing this, were there any other reference points, for instance, that you refer to auto tech companies, say, in China, or US, or other auto tech companies in India?
No, I've not talked about any benchmarks, right? So India is very unique, big market, growing market, right? Indian consumer, the way we feel about cars, people in the US don't feel about the cars that way. It is more or less an utility. But for us, you know, I'll show you, every day we are seeing, you know, 10 members, 15 members of the same family coming to take the delivery of the car, doing lots of puja, many people getting emotional. So this is a very, you know, unique perspective to like our society. So there is no point following any benchmark. Market is big. It is bound to keep getting bigger. It is a direct function of economy. The personal passenger car penetration per capita in India is still 26-27, right? So while in advanced, you know, societies, that number is north of 800. So insanely large headroom available, right? Even at the current size of the market, and with the economy, the market will also keep growing. If somebody is not sold on Indian economy, then I cannot, I cannot sell car market or used car market to that person ever. And if somebody is already sold on Indian economy, then I don't need to sell the potential of the Indian car market or the Indian used car market.
Got it. Do you still go back to this deck sometimes to see where you were and where you are today?
No. So basically this...
After how long, how much time are you seeing this deck?
After 4 years.
Right? After 4 years? Wow. Right. So you don't sort of go back to it, this is where we were and this is where we are now. Heard out Neeraj's perspective, you know, from the lens of a founder on why a pitch deck is important. But let's also get the investor perspective, the VC view. Why are decks so important to VCs when they meet a founder or, you know, when they're about to decide on whether to invest, not invest? Why does it stand out for you? What do you look for when you meet founders and, you know, when you ask them for their decks?
Okay, thank you. Super excited to be here with you both. I think investor perspective kind of echoes what Neeraj talked about. He talked about taking 6 months to shape the deck. Why is that important? You're probably going to get a half an hour to 1 hour meeting with that investor. And in that half an hour to 1 hour, you want to impress upon them that this is a company they want to be spending more time in. So having a sharp story helps that. So deck is nothing but a tool to enable that. So the more thought you put into that, the sharper your story is going to be. So that's why it's super important to have a really good deck and get going with that. Happy to jump into any of the aspects that we look for, if that'll be helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
So just to recap, Anand, you know, he spoke about the first few slides.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of time on just deciding what his mission statement would be and, you know, how the rest of it evolved from that. So if I have to break this up into sections, I think the first few slides are essentially the problem that Spinny is trying to solve, the potential of the market, why there is a space for Spinny to occupy one corner, how they will go about it. Then, you know, a slide on the team. So it's a very strong team that has experience across Flipkart, Adobe, Airtel, and so on. And then you have a whole set of slides, you know, on financials and projections. How many cars they are selling per month, what their margins are, where they will be, what their revenue stream is going to look like. Which of these was the most important for you, if you have to look at this section-wise?
I think there are a few things that almost every investor looks for, and I definitely, the template hasn't changed in the 15 plus
Though
years.
Though he said don't look for templates.
No, template on what you look for across different areas. And I'll talk about the areas. And within that, you can't templatize. I'll explain that. I fully agree with Neeraj on that. So the first thing you want to look for is the team. Is this a team that is really passionate about the problem they're solving? In the case of Neeraj, that stood out like anything. He really wanted to solve the used car buying experience. And we can come back to that. And the whole team was engineered around that, how to make that beautiful. Because you're like both the founders and the investors are going to be in a 5-10 year relationship if things work out. If it doesn't work out, yes, the startup doesn't work out. If it works out, you want to be working with each other for a long period of time. So the team and how you work with the team is super important. And there you cannot templatize. There can be a founder who comes from any part of the globe, I would say, as Axel, and in this case, any part of India. He came from a smaller town in India, and that was a very interesting story for me to hear. We spent a lot of time talking about all that. Right, the first time he pitched me, it was in Hindi, and my Hindi is very bad. So I said, Neeraj, I get these part, but the numbers part I'm not getting. Can you please help me? Right. So I think it's founders come in different ways, different shapes, and that's the beauty of the startup ecosystem. We really enjoy meeting them, starting with that. And then what is the unique problem they're solving? And is this a real problem in today's environment at that particular time? And in their case, it was used car buying. And if you look at the first few slides, that sets it up very well. There was a Flipkart and a Swiggy and other companies that trained consumers to buy online. And there was no one training consumers how to think and buy a car, auto, their first big purchase online. Even houses, there were experiences, but it wasn't very well solved. And how do you solve that in a way that there's a high level of trust in that buying experience? So if you look, the first few pages go into that. We started always with the team, getting to know them when an investor. So I would encourage you, any founder listening, to first start probably with the team and explain how they came into the problem, how they're solving it, and how what's unique about it. Then comes, is it a large market? How are you going about scaling that? What's the unit economics? What's the financial things that you talked about? But the first section, you'll have to get it right in the first 10 minutes, I would say, so that the investor, and for that matter, when you're pitching an employee, if you're trying to hire a co-founder, if you're trying to hire a employee, you still need to be able to pitch. So as a founder, this is one of the things that you keep refining and refining. And Neeraj had nailed it by the time.
So yeah, storytelling has to be on point in the first 3-4 slides.
I would say first 15-20 minutes, get the core story out if possible. Right, and not everyone gets it in the first step, but just keep working on it, right? So it's a ongoing journey, right? So in your seed round, you might be somewhere. It's a learning experience, and ask for feedback, right? So you are, whenever you're pitching, you can ask the investor, how did I do? More informally, what resonated? Just like what you're asking, what stood out? You could ask that of who you're talking to, what appealed to you, and then you use that, right? It's like any storytelling.
Got it. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned he worked on it for 6 months. Tell us about that.
He went and camped with the designer is what I heard. Right. Talk. Yeah.
A basic version was already in place. Yeah. And for 6 months, I just kept refining it. Right. Mm. And every time I used to have a relook and I used to find some gaps. So there is always room to improve and make it more and more sharper.
This is like the rewriting, writing and rewriting process,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
How that, to cut out the fluff and
yes,
keep it
and
sharp.
And that helps your execution also. It will give you more and more clarity to execute, right, what, you know, on
and were you involved in every aspect that, you know, this design should come here, it should be this font and this font
yes,
size
yes,
and order
yes.
of slides.
Yes.
Were you that, I mean, the attention to detail wasn't that high.
Exactly. Yeah. I was using my friend who is a designer as a tool. Right? Because I didn't know how to use those tools.
Yeah.
Right. So this percentage should be in bigger number and
exactly. Everything. Whatever.
Like
you
the NPS
seeing,
score
right?
should be bold in blue.
Everything. What kind of icons, which font, what font color, you know, what kind of lines to use to draw the graph, right? All kinds of representation, everything.
So when did you finally feel like this is it and I'm going to pitch?
No, while this deck is a work in progress, I was like already pitching it to people, right? But in July 18, I felt that whatever I want to tell, right? This has everything.
Whatever you want to articulate.
Yeah, whatever I want to articulate, this has everything. And this has a very effective and crisp articulation. So maybe there isn't a lot of room to improve it significantly further. Right. So in July, I got that confidence. And then it got shared with Anand. And it immediately generated some interest. But earlier versions were not that good.
So, when did you all first connect? Was it a cold email or you all knew each other?
That's a good question. So, we have this thing called thesis-led investments. So, in auto, we've had a thesis in the past. So, we had a person in our investment team called Karan Shah. So, he worked on a thesis in auto and he came and started presenting it to us, the team, and said, this is a very interesting thing. And we should look at it. And so he went and met every team and said, he really, really liked Neeraj. We met the other teams as well. Everyone was doing interesting things, right? Different things, but we really liked what Neeraj was doing. So it was a thesis-led investment where we knew the space. We had done a bunch of work around it and we had met a bunch of companies in that space. And then in that journey, we had met Neeraj. And Neeraj has connects into many of the team members at Axel. Even before, right? So there was pre-existing relationships, but in earnest, it started in that July time frame, and it took a few months, and then we committed probably in October, November, and then investment happened in 2019.
Got it.
Yeah.
Did you face pushback, Anand, ki, okay, Spinny, isn't it like car trade? There is already a car, dekho, there's already a Cars 24, so there's already an quicker, there's already an OLX, so this is player 7 or 8. Why would you want to invest? Can they come from behind? Because typically, platform companies, internet companies, it's a winner-takes-all scenario. More than 2-3 players is very hard. How did you sort of build a thesis on Spinny? Or what gave you conviction that, you know, this can be among the top 2-3 players in the market? Because it was a very crowded market then.
Yeah, it was a crowded market, but no one was thinking consumer back. What is the real consumer pain point? They want a high quality car at the lowest price. That's very clear. So how do you do that? Most people were connecting, including Spinny in the early days, for connecting buyers and sellers. And in that thing, the seller wants to get rid of the car. Because if you've ever tried to sell a car, you're done with it. You want a new car, so you're selling it. You don't care, you'll do whatever to sell, right? Whereas the buyer wants to keep it. So how do you really make that relationship work? You have to buy the car, fix it, and sell it. It's a huge undertaking. So what Neeraj and Spinny were doing then is to solve it the hard way. They were like in a way through their network, ensuring that the best quality cars came into the platform and were fixed and then sold, right? So that whole process in a very compliant way to do that, it took a lot of effort and they had solved that hard problem, which really appealed to us as investors.
Got it. You know, compared to what they presented in the deck to where they are now, what has changed and what hasn't changed?
See, what has changed is the team has continued to grow. He's added a lot of really high quality people. The companies have scaled. It was only Gurgaon at that time, right? Mainly around, we went and visited the places where he was selling. So that has scaled across 15 plus cities now. So a lot of those things, the company has scaled a bit, quite a bit. Many of what he is talking about in the deck has happened in terms of the revenue streams and everything. What has not changed, I would say, is the hunger to continue solving the problem and the and the culture with which Neeraj is building. So I think he stayed the same humble, amazing person he's been. Like, I'm not saying just because he's here, but that's an important thing. Founders might change over time, teams might change. I think important to maintain the culture and the passion for solving that problem you started out. And that's true even today as 2018.
So how did you go about deciding that, you know, this is an investor who's a good fit on my cap table?
So before starting Spinny, for some time, for 10, 11 months, I did angel investments very actively. Hmm. And because of that, I had a sense about the ecosystem, right? That from within, what kind of DNA different firms have. And I was very clear that Excel will be an ideal partner for me, because I knew that my category is overcrowded, overfunded. So it will take some time for me to, you know, things start working out. Maybe I'll have to go through, you know, more pivots, more iterations. And it will definitely take, you know, a lot of effort, a lot of time and a lot of patience for everybody on the cap table to start seeing some results and start seeing some green shoots and some real progress. So I really wanted that the investor who joins the cap table with a significant ownership and with a strong voice on the board should be equally convinced about the opportunity we are chasing, the kind of vision we have. So there should be absolute alignment with the vision and the approach going forward. And there should be a lot of patience also. If you start getting desperate very early, right? If you don't have right level of patience, so then you might end up becoming the reason to derail the company.
Wow.
Right? So I was very sure that I want that kind of partner. And the partner who has a lot of, at the same time, the partner who has a lot of reputation in the market, and I can ride on that reputation to attract investors for the next round of the funding. And also who brings various useful insights to further, you know, execute, to evolve the company, my further evolution, my scaling. So I was looking for that kind of partner, and because of my angel investment, basically exposure, I knew that Excel would be that ideal partner. It was just that I was taking some time to convince Excel and bring Anand and the team on board, but I was very clear that Excel is that ideal partner, and I have to make it happen.
Right.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
I think it's both sides, the investor as well as the founder, like Neeraj had done, should do the due diligence. Really understand who they are getting into a relationship with. We talked about it earlier, because as he said, a good investor and a good founder, like that match is super important.
So you should talk about yourself. People in my early days, like 2016, 17, 20, early 2018, I didn't used to talk about my journey, right? I directly used to jump into this category, this problem, you know, these players, you know, and this much of opportunity, this is the problem statement. But I was not a part of that storytelling. And when I plugged myself into that storytelling, things started, you know, changing.
When you put yourself out there,
right,
which you think founders should do more of, not just so that, reduce it to numbers.
It's not that I manufactured that, right?
No. It was
It's just that, you know, I was not putting myself into that storytelling. I was just talking about the problem, the category, our USPs, the kind of platform we were trying to build. But I was absent from that entire storytelling. That who am I, why I am what I am, and why I am doing this, why I want to do this, why I am passionate about this. That was entirely missing. And when I plugged that perspective into the entire storytelling, things started changing for us.
Anything you want to add?
Yeah,
and at that moment, I realized that people need to know who you are. That is the most important. That is the first question they are trying to answer. If they are not comfortable with you, whatever you are trying to build, how exciting that is going to be, they will not going to fund you, most probably. So first hoop they are trying to cross, right, is getting comfortable with you. If they are not comfortable with you, most of the investors are not going to back you, irrespective of how exciting or how big opportunity you are trying to chase.
No, I fully echo that. So going back, I think start with that and have a sharp story of how you came to that problem and then how you're solving it in a unique way that to your level best you can defend, right? So that we talked about how Neeraj talked about it. And then any proof points that it's working. So if you look in their deck, they have a lot of proof points. 40% of their customers came through referrals. Their NPS, the net promoter score, that people like their product was very high, right? All these proof points help. Are you showing in the seed round, maybe you might not have all this, but by the Series A, they had all this, right? So in the seed round, it's mostly the team and the problem. Then by the Series A, you have the team, the problem, a unique solution, and some proof points that there are green sprouts, right? So you can see, and I think that's all investors are looking for. That first meeting, and I tell this to every founder, is your whole thing is to ensure that you get who you're talking to, whether it's an investor or a potential co-founder or your employee, a future potential senior leader, get them excited to spend more time with you. Then hopefully you've got a successful next step. Then you keep going deeper and deeper. So this whole pitch craft, hopefully through that, that message resonates. So make it deep, but short and sweet so that you want more, right? So I'm talking about the other person, right? So.
On that note, thank you very much, Neeraj and Anand. With that, we come to the end where we deconstructed Spinny's first ever pitch deck with you, both with the founder as well as the investor. We hope you found that useful. And in case you're looking for this deck, it's downloadable on Seed to Scale. So check out the entire deck there.
Money Control presents Pitchcraft in collaboration with Seed to Scale.